back from last week. We'll be in Ecclesiastes the next two Sundays, and then we're going to take a turn to talk about reaching our community, reaching our friends, and making a stand for Christ. And then after about 3 weeks of that, we're going to get into end times events. So if that's your cup of tea, talking about the rapture and the things that are happening in the world around us, that's coming up pretty soon. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The next couple of thoughts are donated to us when they considered the collective intelligence of our society. They're given to us by Stephen Wright, June Henderson, and Sandra Bernard. Stephen writes, "There was a power outage at the department store yesterday. 20 people were stranded on the escalator. It's easy to find people who can't count to 12. They're in front of you at the express line at the grocery store." And finally, Sandra contributes, "Personally, I'm waiting for caller IQ." Ah, intelligence. How many wish you were just a little smarter? You just had a little bit more going on upstairs. Well, Solomon was as intelligent as they come. And in this morning's text, he's going to tell us, you know what? This intelligent thing, it's not all it's cracked up to be. I thought about that phrase, cracked up to be. What in the world does that mean? And as I looked up the etymology of it all, it said that in some countries, news is referred to as crack. And so people will ask one another, what's the crack? Or what's the news? And so when we say something's not all it's cracked up to be, we're saying, well, it's not everything that it's been advertised to be. And for all the blow we put into education these days, we're always talking about more spending and different ways of doing these things. Education, education, education. It's important. But Solomon's saying, actually, there's a lot in life that's more important than intelligence and education. And get you some book smarts, that's a good thing. But understand, that is not the source of your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting in verse 12. "I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I've increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief." That ought to cheer you up a little bit. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we bring your word back to you this morning, and we just ask you to sit with us a while and peel back the layers. Help us to understand. Help us to get it. Help us to be better because we've sat at your feet this morning. And we'll thank you for your help here in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon devoted part of his life to the pursuit of knowledge. He had a Ferrari of a brain, and he pulled it out onto the information highway of his day, and he punched the accelerator, and he went for everything that he could. He sought every source of wisdom. He studied what others had written, observed the stars, tracked great systems, examined animals, plants, and rocks. Solomon learned about other cultures, other beliefs. His brain never stopped working. He was so thirsty for knowledge and understanding. And he just kept drinking it in, gallon after gallon after gallon. He had a great capacity for learning. Your brain never get tired. You just kind of had enough. You've studied about all that you can. I mean, you've been hard at it for 5-7 minutes. And it's just, you know, wow, too much information. I don't think I can handle it anymore. Solomon didn't have that problem. The more he drank from the well of knowledge, the more that he wanted. He just was so thirsty, so voracious in his brain activity. He was aggressive at going at learning. Much of what he learned was useful to himself and to his nation. He was an expert economist. He could develop weapon systems. He knew how to organize like no one who had gone before him. He was an ingenious inventor, a brilliant politician, a gifted communicator. No one is good at everything, but Solomon was great at a lot of stuff. His ability to learn, his inquisitive nature, these were gifts from God. I slipped out for a few minutes this morning and went over to Children's Church to do a little thing with the kids. I took a couple books along with me, and I said, yeah, you know why I brought the books? Yeah, it's the start of school. And we had one young lady in the back, oh, I love school. And we had one young man in the front row that just had a meltdown. Oh, you can't talk about school. It's the weekend. I hate school. It's so boring. And I mean, it was like he just was having a fit. We tried to minister to the boy, but I think he's still having spasms even right now while I'm out here. School! No, not school! Of course, we talked about all the important stuff of school, like what are you going to wear on the first day? What color binders? That was comments from the girls' side of the room and so on. But not Solomon. I mean, he loved this learning. He applied it well. He made life-changing discoveries at every turn. And I think for a while, it was absolutely fun for the guy. The quest for knowledge is a noble pursuit. Aren't you thankful for the cures and the medicines and the applications and the therapies that they have come up with for us? Aren't you glad for the labor-saving devices that have been developed over time? Today, it's all about apps. Get an app on your phone. Just app. More apps. I'm new to the smartphone thing. I've had mine for about 2 weeks now. I kind of miss my dumb phone. I got this thing that said, it's a window to an app store, and they offer 1.5 million apps. I need an app to tell me what apps I need, because I am not going to look through 1.5 million apps. I just have an open, what's the most outrageous app or helpful app that you found yet? Anybody just give me it out nice and loud. What's you just never thought, but they've got something for that. All right, smartphones, dumb audience, huh? Is that how it works? But it's always these new discoveries, and they're multiplying like crazy. You can have an app that will tell you how to get home, how to stay on your diet, or where the nearest Dunkin' Donuts shop might be. Every time someone invents a new useful app, I guess our lives are blessed a little bit more. Indeed, to think about it, to be inquisitive, to discover something new, to see something that you've never seen before. Isn't that one of the delights of life? To taste a new food or an old food done in a new way that just tickles your palate. This deluge of knowledge, this newness, this freshness that it brings. Learning a new song. Sometimes the worship team will bring to us a new song, and just reading the words just blesses your socks off. It's nothing you haven't heard before, but hearing it restated, just putting a fresh twist on it can be so enlightening, so delightful. Solomon knew all this stuff. And he was juiced by it day after day after day. Sometimes he couldn't wait to get up in the morning to go and find something else out. So how do we get from that guy to the one we read about in our text? Meaningless. Useless. Give up now. Let's eat worms and die. What drained the life out of this young man who was so excited about life? It was why he lived, to discover and to teach. After all, he refers to himself as the teacher. Here's what happened. Solomon moved wisdom out from under God and put it up on a pedestal all its own. He used to worship and thirst after and acclaim the name of God. And wisdom was a gift that God had given him that he could use to go fascinating places and find out new stuff and come home satisfied every time. And he got to this place where he said, you know what, wisdom is so awesome. This learning stuff is so great. Maybe that's the point of life. Maybe I don't need to be so serious about God. Maybe what I really need to be serious about is more learning. And so wisdom became this quasi-God that he started to focus on and serve, if you will. He decided to figure out what's life all about. Have you ever been tempted like that? You were raised in Sunday school. They taught you all the good things about God. You went along in a pattern, and then you scratched your head one day and thought, well, maybe there's more. There's a lot of people who don't believe like I believe, like we believe. They seem to be getting along just fine. What runs their life? What's it all about? And maybe you yourself have tried out a few of their vehicles, a philosophy, a way of thinking. Maybe you thought, well, they're right. I'm a product of my environment, and maybe I've been tainted by that, and there is something else out there. Remember last week we talked about Solomon's many wives, and the reason God said don't marry a whole lot of women, because they're going to turn you, buddy. They're going to turn you. We won't talk about everything they can turn you into, but he began to question his own view of God. Began to visit their temples and consider their forms of worship and how that really soured his whole view of life. And now, other than false gods, he's thinking maybe stuff is the end. Maybe science has it after all. Maybe learning enough, maybe that's what it's all about. Maybe this is superstition that we've been following all this time. And as he sets wisdom up as his own God to be worshipped, as he searches after that, well, his search for wisdom, it ends in disillusionment, disappointment, fatigue. This time, as he swam out into that ocean of knowing, he didn't come home refreshed. He didn't come home with any answers. He just kept coming back with more projects, unsolvable mysteries, uncorrectable problems. He used to say, here's what can be done. Now all he can say is, bah, useless, meaningless. Give it up. Do you remember where Solomon's intelligence began? Where this great gift of wisdom was born? He was chosen to be Israel's next king. He's following his dad, David. David was a man after God's own heart. The kingdom is at peace. It's large. They've got people bringing tribute from other countries. The economy's strong. Everything's going real well. And this young man steps up to the podium, and he looks out over the thousands of Israel, the millions, actually. And he goes, whoa. I can't do this. I'm just a child. But he knew where to start. And he offered up thousands of sacrifices to the Lord. He just slaughtered thousands. He thought, you know what? If a sacrifice is a good thing, I really, 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 really need to hear from God. And so he gave and he gave and he gave and he gave. And that night, as he was humbly in his tent, as he was reflecting on everything, God came to him and said, "Son, I've been pleased with your display today. What can I give to you?" He said, "Oh, Lord, you know what I want. I want to be wise. I want to do this job right. I want to serve you well, and I want to be a great king for these people. I want to do this. So please give me wisdom." And God was so enamored with his response that God lavished on him not just wisdom, but he gave him favor with people, and he caused there to be peace, and he caused him to be a wealthy man, and just blessed him over and over and over again. It was a request born out of humility with a desire to be a useful servant of God. If there's one thing I could magnify to you today, if I could put it on a post-it note and put it on your forehead this morning, this is it. If you want life, if you want your world to count, start on your knees before God. Don't start in front of the mirror with makeup. God knows some of us could really use that, but that's not where we start. Don't think that the mighty dollar bill is the be-all, end-all. How can I make the most money? Because that will make my life count. See, those are systems that Solomon tried but failed at. Here's where we come back to it. Get on your knees before God and humble yourself and say, "Lord, it's not about me. This is your universe. This is your world. This is your playground. And I'm just a piece in it. Show me why I was created." When Solomon was there, life was good. It opened up in front of him like a book, an illustrated book with beautiful pictures, and everything was coming together. But hear this. It went sour when the humility went away. When he became pleased with what he saw in the mirror, when he began to believe the press releases from everyone, "That's a smart dude. Man, we had a wonderful time in Solomon's palace yesterday. How important, how mighty a king he is." What was the difference between the happy Solomon and the man we find in our text that looks so broken, so knowledgeable? And he's got more knowledge now than at any other point in his life. But instead of being juiced by it, he's broken. He's spent. Catch this phrase. Success wore away at his humility. Success wore away at his humility. Some of us, we just want to be successful so bad. We want to be good at something. We wonder why it's so slow in coming. Let me tell you something. Success could be the death blow of your life. Oh, no, no. That's when life gets good, is when you become successful. Look at Solomon. He was more successful than he had ever been. There's more gold in the palace. There's more parks. There's more everything. And he's a broken man. Maybe success isn't the point of life. Success wore away at his humility. And God knows that he has got to give you success at a rate that your faith can keep up with it, or hopefully keep ahead of it. Success is harder to manage than failure, because success can eat away at your humility. And when your humility is gone, your foundation is gone. You're no longer open to what God alone can do. I don't know about you, but it so happens in my life. So often happens in my life. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying. I've got everything in line. It looks like everything's supposed to be working now, and it's not. And I have to cry out to God for help again. And he helps me. That's why I feel so sorry for you intelligent people. You think you know what you're doing. You think you got it all under control. I don't mean this humorous. Better be a dummy that trusts the Lord than to be an Einstein and have lost your way. Don't let success wear away at your humility. You find a way to get humble again. You find a way to fight your way back on your knees and keep that tenderness, that childlike spirit before your God. You are great. I am nothing. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Oh, that's such an important additive to confidence. It's God confidence, not self-confidence. He mistook his intelligence for the prize of life. He thought he was somebody because he knew something. Don't mistake intelligence for the reason you're here. Jesus Christ is the reason you live and breathe and have your being. When he sought God, he was happy. When he became self-sufficient, he just sank right to the bottom. My introduction to this series started with these words. Listen closely, my children, and you shall hear the tale of a brilliant man as he drives himself to the brink of insanity, trying to do better than best, attempting to become wiser than truth, working to find more than satisfaction, toiling to spin pleasure into ecstasy, collapsing beneath his own efforts to find a greater life than the one offered by God. I happen to believe that this is the description of where our society is today. We had the Lord, and it was good, but somebody thought we could do better than good. Somebody thought that satisfaction wasn't enough. Somebody thought it could be tweaked, and maybe we need to drink out of some other wells for a while just to find out if it's better somewhere else. Perhaps Solomon's greatest folly was trying to find a better God than God. I'm 58 years old. I'm here to tell you. Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like the Lord. The most powerful truth I have ever learned in life, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I have found him true, and I have found his word true. Go off on little excursions if you must. Allow your mind a little bit of wonder if you think you have to. But don't let go of your anchor. Let your feet be firmly planted on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you've discovered that in your own life, let me hear an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's not just something your parents handed you. You went out there, you sunk a couple of times, and you found out there is no other rock than the rock that we have found. At the end of an exhausting application of his superior intellect, Solomon announces, wisdom is meaningless. It's useless. It's a chasing after the wind. Knowledge, it doesn't matter. Now, that's not true. That's how he felt, because he took his wisdom out from under God And wisdom apart from God is useless. It is a failure. I was reading in my Live Dead Journal just this week, a gentleman was at his doctorate in engineering, and he went to a university, he became a professor, and they called him doctor, and he just loved what he did. And he said that these professors walked around college flexing their brain muscles, much like a bodybuilder does, you know. I wish I could demonstrate that for you, but you know how they flex their muscles, and these professors were just, and he said you could see it in the age of the professors. They started out a little iffy, and they were hoping this, and they were, but by the time they had some age behind them and more degrees behind their name, they were arrogant, and they just oozed this pride. And they loved getting into conversation. They would even take opposite ends. They didn't care what they didn't really believe anything, but they loved these mental exercises. And he got to this place where, you know, he was the man on campus. He was the dean of the professors. And then he met Jesus Christ. And today he's a Live Dead missionary on a foreign field, just loving Jesus and loving people and planting seeds for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walked away from it all, the money, the prestige, everything else, because he found what was really true. Wisdom is important. Knowledge is wonderful. But what good is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? We used to have these ethnic jokes when I was a kid. There was a particular group of people that we would always pick on, and I became ashamed of that later, because I became very proud of that people group as they really stood up against communism, Wek Valensa and a few others and so on. But you know, we had these jokes. Hey, did you hear about the, you know, pilot? Yeah, he backed into a mountain. Hey, did you hear about the astronaut? Yeah, he missed the Earth. You know, and all these kinds of things. And but it all applies to this giant intellect is out there. We've got these professors with degrees and all this knowledge, and they are so stupid. How did they do that? How did they get so stupid being so smart? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you don't start at go, you cannot collect $200. You do not find out what life is all about. Well, you and I, we live in the information age. More people make their living pushing data around than ever before. I'm a preacher. My son builds websites. Some of you work in accounting. You troubleshoot computers. You teach, or you present arguments, or you present products. It's all information, information, information. Even the few people left on earth who actually do things with their hands are dependent on the people who offer information. Showed up for a dentist appointment the other day, and their computers were down. They didn't know who I was or what I was doing there. I had to tell them. Boy, and when you're at a dentist office, to be truthful about why you're there, is that's a hard thing. And they couldn't reschedule me because the computers were dead. Now, that's a good thing. But information, we don't know how to write on a piece of paper. Come back November 7th. That doesn't work. A common reaction to taking a philosophy course in college or university is despair. What is philosophy but studying the systems of life and knowledge and application? And after hearing what the greatest minds of our generation have to say, and some of the past generations, students walk out in utter despair. Why? No foundation. No foundation. They're trying to build on clouds, and it doesn't work. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So get an education, learn a skill, use it to make a living, provide for your family. But friend, keep the Lord as your God. You'll learn many other things. You'll hear some foreign stuff. But don't dismiss the foundation that your folks, that your church has been careful to build and bring into your life. We've got a whole generation that has gotten lost, just like Solomon. They're out there somewhere. They think they're on the trail of something great or big. Any day now it's going to pay off. Any day now it's really going to get good. Any day now, they should realize we are really lost. And they should start heading home, I'd say, just about now. Back to the last place they knew that there was something solid. There was something real. There was a love. There was a courage. Back to the place they cried out to God for meaning, purpose, and a gift they could use. Like spoiled children at Christmas, we often cry out to God. We put our list in, this is what I want. And when he brings our gift to us, we rip it out of his hands and we run into the corner and we intend to spend it all on ourselves. Whatever your gifts may be, beauty, talent, intelligence, skill, they all work, but none bring life unplugged from God. None bring life unplugged from God. So maybe you're here this morning and you've got some stuff. You are a somebody. You have a degree. You've got a job. But you don't have any life. Maybe you need to get plugged in again. And say, Lord, here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my King. I've tried plugging this in other places, and it just isn't working. I need you, Lord, more than ever before. Would you stand with me? Let's sing that chorus together. Here I am to worship.